Hello and welcome to the Beyond Blocks podcast, a podcast about Drupal, open source, and related software development topics. I'm Oliver Davis, and I'm here with my guest, Niklas Franke. Hopefully, I've said that
Hi.
properly. Niklas, do you want to go ahead and introduce yourself?
Yeah, of course. Hi, Oliver. You did an amazing job pronouncing my name, so we can immediately go forward with this. My name is Niklas. I'm a digital marketing manager at Factorial, which is a company based in Hamburg, Germany. And I actually have a variety of things to do. I have a variety of stuff on my plate, not only including communication activities for Factorial, but also organization of events, closing partnerships, and a bunch of other things that I now forget because I'm a little bit nervous. And also, I didn't sleep much through the weekend. My birthday was yesterday.
I can
And
imagine.
I'm just coming back from the Splash Awards, which took a lot of energy.
Yes, we great to have you on the show. We were both at DrupalCon in Lille recently. I'm trying to think whether we actually were there. If I spoke to you, I was there. I spoke to a lot. I seem to have spoke to a lot of people. But I was there. There were about 1,300 people there altogether. So yeah, I'm trying to remember who I spoke to. I'm probably not going to remember. So if we did
I'm
speak
pretty sure I
to
saw you, but I'm not sure if we talked.
yeah, I did quite a lot of wandering, I assume, because Factorial was also sponsoring, right? So I assume that you'd have probably been on that stand and probably would have walked
Yeah,
in at
true.
some point.
We were pretty busy preparing the coffee and talking to people as well.
I mean, you were quite busy yourself, right? So you did a session, you did a BOF session, and you did a sponsored talk as well on the open stage. So you were quite busy yourself, right?
Yeah, well, let's say I did one sponsored session on that open stage, and then I offered two BOFs, which both were like about content that I talked about before. But it was a very last minute thing for me to like condense it into a kind of like workshop discussion situation rather than just like talking about it for like 40 minutes straight. And also, the topic from my open session, I think, was like 15 minutes long, but I talked about the same topic in the Drupal Camp Spain this year, and I had 60 minutes for the same session. So it was very hard to, like, I don't know, decide which slides will be gone and which slides will appear.
Yeah, I've got 60 slides. I had to make it into 15 slides. Which one's gonna take away? Yes, I've been in
Exactly.
the same situation. So how did you find DrupalCon? Was it what you expected? Was it your first DrupalCon?
Yeah, it was actually my first one because last year, you have to say, in order to answer this correctly, I started working at Factorial as my first employer in the whole like Drupal environment, which is why I never heard about DrupalCon before. And then when I started, it was in the middle of the pandemic, so there was no event taking place. When I started in 2020, I think the first DrupalCon possibility that I had was 2022 in Prague. And for some reason, I don't know, I kind of mixed up the calendar and I booked my vacation directly within the same time period. So I couldn't attend it myself. Prepared everything for our sponsoring there because we were also a sponsor at the DrupalCon in Prague, but I couldn't go myself. So this year was the first opportunity for me to actually visit it myself.
That's cool. And what did you? My first one was not that. My first one was the Prague, probably before that, which I think might have been 2000.
19 then, right?
I feel it might be even one before that, actually. But yeah, my first was Prague as well. I went to a Drupal camp in London in the UK. Might have been 14 or 15. So I think that was 2014. So it might have been 15 for Prague. And
Right.
then yeah, it was my first DrupalCon was the one after that. So I look back on that quite fondly, and that was quite this really interesting experience for me to sort of meet people in person I'd probably worked with and issue queues and on things before. So yeah, that was quite interesting.
That's interesting. I heard that a lot. I heard that a lot from the also developers from my team that they used the DrupalCon to talk to a lot of people they actually already collaborated with online. In my case, it was an interesting event because I kind of knew what to expect from based on the experience that my co colleagues shared with me. But nonetheless, it was a very nice event because I have a marketing background, which means all the events I usually attend to are like these. We try to be business casual, but it's very business and also very distanced. And DrupalCon was like so personal, so I don't know, so easygoing, and everyone just stopped by, hanging out, and wanted to talk about stuff with you. And there was no this, I really want to sell you something. It's just about like shared interests and shared projects. So I really
I
enjoyed it.
think there's something, I don't know whether it's completely unique to Drupal or to open source, but yeah, there's that, you know, I've worked in situations where I've worked maybe for an agency and then we've been for another agency, or maybe then we've been working together collaboratively on a project together and then we're pitching against each other for the next project. It's this really interesting dynamic, I think, that happens in open source. And then you can be in this in a session like mine, like yours, and there would be people there from different companies and different organizations who are learning from what you're doing.
Exactly.
But yeah, you're all still sort of building the community and building the project together. So it's yeah, I don't know whether it's the same for like other industries or other even other like CMSs. I know I do some work in the Symfony and PHP space as well, but I don't know. It happens a lot with, but I don't know whether it happens in other industries as well, or whether it's like do dentists still meet up and talk about the new drills that they've all got to use or something. I don't know. I should ask my CMX.
Yeah, I also don't have any experience on that. Also, not like comparison to any other technologies. But I don't know anything about those interactions on events. But let me tell you, from the like usual digital marketing conference, it's really about showing off how amazing you are, and it's very hard to tell if you're just like blowing up, I don't know, some hot air, or if actually content is behind your words. And I think that's something that's a little bit easier to see through in the Drupal community, because you just visit the drupal.org profile and you see all the references and stuff, and you see what the people actually worked on, and you also immediately have something to find some common ground. I think that's really, really nice and easy. I loved it.
Right. So, do you have one main highlight or takeaway from the conference, other than you said it was a bit different to what you'd attended before?
I think my personal highlight was that since I'm starting to increase my network in the community from the beginning of this year, because this is like the first year where all the events are really coming back. I mean, there were some last year, but this year it feels like the first year of actually all the kind of pre-pandemic conditions. So what I really enjoyed DrupalCon Lille was that also the people that I started to talk with online were there, and I had to chance the chance of meeting them for the very first time in person. I mean, I feel like that for many people that attend the DrupalCon, it's like a little bit like a, I don't know, class reunion or something, because they run into each other during like a couple of camps in the previous years, and then it's like touching base again with people that you already know. And since I'm relatively new to the party, to the whole like Drupal party, for me it was like really the first time of seeing people in person that I talked with online.
Okay. So you mentioned a few times that you're quite new to the Drupal community. I think you said you joined in 2020 or 2021. So what was the reason for getting involved with the Drupal community? Was that since joining, was it because of joining Factorial, or did you know about Drupal before that? Or what was your introduction to the community like?
It's actually a very funny story, because yes, I joined Factorial, and that was like the point where I got in touch with Drupal, at least that I knew of. But then after working for Factorial for a couple of months and really starting to see through all the specific terms and getting to know the community and also getting involved in the projects and stuff, I realized that in my former employee was actually already interacting with Drupal without knowing it, because I was responsible for like uploading content on the website, and I was like always a little bit bummed about the content management system, because I already back then in 2017 it didn't feel very intuitive for someone like me who has like zero knowledge of anything technology related. And then afterwards, after joining Factorio, I realized that I actually interacted with I think it was the Drupal 6 website back then. It kind of oddly felt familiar interacting again with Drupal. Now with, I think it was the Drupal 8 first that I interacted with our own Factorio website, uploading content there, uploading blog articles. And I was like, wait, I know this system. Why do I know this system? And then I remembered that I worked with it before.
Oh, that's really cool. Yeah, there would be some differences if you're looking on sort of even 6 to 7, I think, and then moving to 8 or 9 or 10. You've probably seen some differences, particularly with some of the new themes and new improvements going into the system.
Exactly. Yeah, and it was also a little bit about the whole handling of it. And I think the logic was what, like kind of, what was familiar to me. The logic, less the interaction itself and the UX and UI, because that obviously that improved, or not improved, changed.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So you were using Drupal without knowing you were using Drupal, and then sort of started a new job where you were doing a lot more Drupal, and then went, oh, that this seems familiar. I think that's really interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's great. So what made you want to submit a session, or 2 or 3 sessions to DrupalCon? What was your reasoning behind wanting to submit and speak?
I felt like it was finally time for me to give something back to the community, because especially non-technical community members like I am, I think we are often a little bit left out without the community doing that on purpose. Because the problem is, I think my first experience with this started in the Global Contribution Weekend at the beginning of this year, because my team said, hey, let's all contribute together. Let's block the weekend. Let's meet during the day. Let's write on Mattermost, and then let's work on our projects. And I thought, wow, that's really a cool opportunity. I'm really looking forward to it. And then, it was the first day of the Global Contribution Weekend, and all of my teammates just started working on their stuff. And I was there, like, not knowing what to do and not knowing where to start. And I felt for the first time, okay, so this is really giving me a hard time, because I really don't know who to talk to, how to find a project that I can collaborate with or that I can contribute to. So I thought it would be good to kind of put myself out there and also highlight the fact that I think there are a lot of people around the world doing what I do, or maybe coming from other professions that also are not tied to, like, this whole bug fixing, feature development situation. So I think it's very hard for people like me to find a way to contribute. And I realized that I'm talking a lot, and I really like talking. With the marketing background that I have, and I also presented some stuff before in previous companies, totally unrelated to Drupal. So I thought, I think it would be a good way of contributing by highlighting topics on events that are not development related. So this is how I kind of started doing that, and then I just submitted talks, and I was like, yeah, let's hear how it goes, and then it got picked up.
So I suppose one of the BOFs that you did was Beyond the Code, Community Engagement for Non-Technical Drupal Enthusiasts. I suppose that was presumably the main sort of focus of that session was what you were just saying about, like, how can you, as a non-technical person, get involved and contribute to things that are not necessarily, you know, as you say, bug fixes or code related, but still growing and contributing to the community in that way.
Exactly. And the other BOFs and sessions that I hosted, I think the other BOF that I did was about the organizing your own Splash Awards. And with that, I just wanted to highlight that and, like, an example of a non-technical contribution project that I'm involved in. And to be fair, with Beyond the Code session, I actually recycled content from a session that I had, or that I hosted during the Drupal Developer Days in Vienna this year, earlier in July, I think it was. And the reason why I submitted it again as a BOF was that during my session, I think it was, like, simultaneously with the core maintainer session from Jess. So obviously, I think 95% of the Drupal Dev Day attendees attended her session, of course. And I think I was pretty much alone with the guy that's taking care of the audio. And he didn't have many questions during my session. So I thought, since the topic means very much to me personally, I thought it would be a good way of like chiming it again into the program of the DrupalCon, because I also submitted it as a session and it wasn't selected. So I was like, well, then it will be a buff. I'm sorry to bother you again with this, but it will be a buff.
Did you get the audio guy contributing by the end of the session? Or was that not something you could do?
Well, I think I really, let's say I planted some seeds in his head, but I'm not sure. He never contacted me again since then. So maybe I will run into him, in an upcoming Drupal camp and pick up the conversation.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I think I've had a memory has come back to me now. That, yeah, I think it might have been the first time I went to Portland when I was working for the Drupal Association years ago. And I was, you know, in a taxi, I guess, coming back to the airport. Unless I'm completely misremembering where I was, but I definitely had a conversation with somebody in a taxi going to an airport, and so got talking to them about, you know, so what do you do, that type of thing, and you know, why you know, not so much why were you here, but you know, small talk. And yeah, he was the guy, he was driving a taxi but building WordPress websites like in the evening or something, and we had this discussion then about how, you know, people got into doing that, and I can't remember the details of it, but yeah, it must have it's made how you can find little connections with people that you don't necessarily think would be there. So yeah, your audio guy might be a big contributor or something at some point, you never know.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's always interesting spending time with people and getting to know them a little bit better, because I think everyone has like some hidden side projects or some I don't know, some stuff that they work on during the night or in their free time. And it's very enlightening also talking to these people, because they have, although it's like completely unrelated because they are working with another framework or whatever, there's always something that you can just, memorize later on as some kind of a helpful thought or some argument that helps you going the way you're going and stuff like that. I think it's people can be very inspiring, whatever they do.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's something I've always tried to remind myself and be aware of, is like you can always learn something from everybody.
Exactly.
You know, I do a lot of, you know, even just with the technical side of things, you know, I might know how Git works and somebody else might know how this works, and you can, yeah, even if you're a, so I do a lot of work with junior developers and bootcamp students, I guess, at the moment. So I do mentoring with people on bootcamps, and yeah, even then, like, they come to things with a very different sort of perspective to me, who's been doing it for a while, and their take on it might be completely different, and they might have a new subject I've not thought of, or will look at something I know but in a slightly different way or a completely different way, depending. So yeah, you can, in my mind, it's not always like, oh, I'm the senior developer or lead developer and you're the junior, or I'm the techie guy, you're the non-techie guy. You can always learn from everybody, I think.
Of course, yeah, and people are so very helpful with that, especially also the developers from my team. I can ask so many, from my point, stupid questions that I really want to find out what's going on, and yeah, they are so helpful, taking their time explaining me everything really to the detail, and also offering their support in any sort if I'm completely desperate and I don't know what's like how to proceed with projects or with any other things. They are so very helpful and supportive in my team. I really enjoyed that. And also, of course, not only in my team, but in the whole community. I mean, via Slack, we are all connected somehow, and I'm in so many different channels, and wherever I am asking for support or for information or for, I don't know, for someone to guide me the way, people are always so eager to do that.
Yeah, that's a few of my experience as well. I think I was learning, so I was sort of learning off YouTube videos, or not even YouTube, but video courses and things back in the day when I was learning. I was doing an IT job and then was doing a website for a Taekwondo school I was training at the time. So I'd built it with just HTML and CSS, so just a basic website to begin with. And then I started doing more interactive things with PHP, because I was trying to build like a news page or something. And then I was going on to a forum And I was like, well, I'm trying to do this. I was trying to adapt something I'd seen in a video. How would I adapt it to work in this situation? And someone said, oh, you might want to try Drupal, this thing that we it's used on this forum and all these things. And you know, if people, if someone hadn't made the time to sort of answer that question and make that suggestion, things probably would have been potentially, well, very different, I suppose. But yeah, people are always, the majority, I think, 99% of them are very willing to help and everything. Actually, I can't think of a time where no one hasn't been willing to help. So
that's true.
Okay. Yeah, interesting. You talk about contributing as a non-technical person. I remember working on the contribution system. I think it might have been when I was at the Drupal Association or maybe thereabouts. And I remember seeing the blog post from Dries, because we were doing, or maybe it was in a Dries note actually, that was you'd always have an issue in an issue queue, and then you tag the people who'd worked in the issue. And I remember it being then presented, you could tag other people in the issue, and then you could also tag companies in the issue as well. And it was some syntax that didn't actually end up getting used, but for the purpose of the slides, where you sort of do like a star before the company name or something. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it's still obviously very Git and version control drive a lot of the whole sort of coding side of things. But then we were like, how do we count for things like non-technical things in this as well? And I see sort of like podcast episodes, and I've done Talking Drupal a couple of times, and they've got an issue queue or a project on Drupal.org that's just there to make issues to then give credit to people who've been on, which is quite interesting. When I've joined certain like different group meetings and things again, or different user groups that have again just like issues, so they can say, oh, this person gave a talk at this event. And I think I'd seen some of the things on your profile for you said about Splash Awards and release parties and user groups and things. So yeah, I don't know whether it's the optimal solution, but yeah, it would be interesting to sort of see how that evolves over time, and whether moving some of the underlying changes that are happening to that system at the moment will make that easier, or maybe there's some better way. I don't know.
I totally get your point, and I heard that before. I have to say, unfortunately, like on as from my point of view, I'm terrible with all that like crediting and issuing thing on Drupal.org. So I'm pretty sure I did some stuff without even being in any credits or any issues, because I really also don't quite understand the logic behind it. And I just want to give something back and to contribute. And I'm really not eager to, or let's put it in other words, it's not like my top priority to have like a high number of credits every month, so people see like, oh, I'm really active. Because whatever I do and whatever I contribute, even if it helps only one person and it not appears on Drupal.org as a credit, I'm still fine with it, because it's not about me putting me in the foreground. I really just want to see results, and I really want to contribute to a final result. And also regarding the Splash Awards, we can talk about that in a minute, but there was like a team involved in there, like to setting all of that up. And for me, it's just important. No, like it's not important who did how much of the job. I just want to name everybody who was involved, so that it reaches more people in total.
So you're going more for a quality over quantity type approach.
Maybe it's also just a lack of understanding how the whole tool works. But I don't mind if I'm not credited in a project, because as I said, it's more about results and more about that something came across, and not that I'm mentioned everywhere. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I see some of my projects I maintain simply to get issues that are being open to fix that one small little thing in a file, and they sort of look at their profile and then they've sort of made the same fix over so many other projects. And I don't want to say it's like sort of trying to game the system or trying to, because obviously they still need fixing, But is that more valuable than anything else? I think that's where discussions have happened before as well. But like, if you get one credit for something, does an event count for more credits, or do you get then do you end up with I'm thinking of it to become almost like a currency then in a way, or do like does a core issue do you get more points for that or something? It was actually, yeah, I
I
think
get
you
your
mentioned.
point. I
Yeah,
mean,
some.
let's like I'm not saying that for some that credits or that like bug fixes and stuff doesn't need their work. Of course they need, and there are bug fixes like this and smaller bug fixes maybe that require less work. And I'm exactly for that reason I said what I said. I don't want to like compare myself with someone saying like I want more credits only because I organized an event or something like that. The important thing is that the event happened and that people had a great time and that it gave like a benefit to the community. And I really don't want to say, well, I worked 60 to 80 hours on my event. How many hours did you spend on doing that little fix? I mean, that's really not the point of any reasonable discussion, I would say.
Yeah, I'm also having a when I've been mentoring at these sort of events before, like DrupalCon, you maybe get a say non-technical or a marketing person or something who wants to contribute, and you say to go through this workflow of this is how Git works and this is how you need to get an environment set up, so you can run a version of Drupal locally for you to use. I'm sure we did it at the Drupal Association events as well. And we were teaching one of the directors or something how to use Git to do, and it was like, no, you just have Git clone. And this was still in the sort of the patch file sort of days. So they were like, this is the command you have to do, just command after command after command. I feel like, I don't know how much you've sort of looked at this, but like the new sort of newer system about the GitLab integrations and things make it, should also make it a lot easier because people could do more in the browser, and the tools are more familiar to people. So I don't know if you've looked into that at all, but be able to just make your own versions and make little documentation changes as well. Should be a lot easier now compared to like run these 10 commands on your local machine as well. So I feel like the barrier is getting lowered in various ways, but can still be probably lowered further potentially, I suppose.
It's good that you mentioned that because I actually haven't looked into it at all. Because as I said, I'm really not into all of that like following up process and I haven't had the pleasure yet to work on any like non-contributional aspect of projects, including documentation or I don't know whatever other job might be falling off there. So I didn't look into all of that, but I think I already scheduled a meeting with a colleague, with a colleague who I doomed to explain what's going on.
Yeah, one of my favorite thing. I don't know whether we probably to leave before this time when we're in Lille, but when I've been to previous Drupal cons, one of my favorite thing on the contribution day has always been like the live commit. This has always been the sort of tradition at the end because I've been usually mentoring, and it's like we'll find a commit that's fairly sort of low risk. It's either a very small change or it's maybe just a comment change or some documentation fix, and that will get committed live at the conference for everybody. Everyone's like, yay. And then it's really good. So yeah, I think my first
Nice.
commit to core was a comment change or something that was sort of needed fixing or changing or something. So yeah, that's a good sort of way in before, like there's no code involved in that. It was just changing a small line or something.
I really hope that I will be involved in those projects in the future as well. Like I said, like I'm really slowly starting my little journey in the contribution area of the Drupal community. And I'm actually also very sad that I couldn't attend the contribution day at DrupalCon because I had the whole like event booth in the back of my car and I drove it back to Germany. And it was the I don't know if you remember, but the weather during that day was like so terrible. It was
Oh,
raining
yes.
all over Europe. And I had to drive 12 hours, I think, through Belgium, the Netherlands, and then to Germany with a colleague. And so yeah, it was unfortunately no time for me to attend the contribution day, which bums me to this day, but I definitely will try to do that next time.
It wasn't a small stand either, was it? If I remember correctly. How you got
It
that in the
wasn't,
back of your
no.
car, I have no idea.
Well, it was actually, it's a very smart system, and I'm very happy that we stumbled upon this provider doing that. I don't want to promote that provider, like doing like a commercial or something, but it was really, really nice because you can kind of like dismantle it like Lego and then just like pile it up and really reduce it in size so it fit in the back of a car, like not a Fiat 500 car, but like a bigger car that has like a little loading area in the back, but yeah, like not a huge car that you might think of.
So you've mentioned Splash Awards a few times. If anybody's not familiar, I've hit Splash Awards a while ago, but it's not something I've come across recently. But if anybody's not heard of Splash Awards at all, do you mind explaining a little bit about what Splash Awards sort of even is, and then how you maybe get involved with organizing one? But
Yeah, I'd love to actually because the event was on Friday last week, and so it's like very present still in my head, and I'm still very hyped up from all the stuff that went down. And I'm involved in that project since last year, I think. And for everyone who doesn't know what the Splash Awards are, I'm sure there are a lot of people out there that still don't know what it is because we are working with a small team and we are also having limited capacities in terms of like putting work into the whole marketing and promotion. But it's an award ceremony, or it's an award event that takes place in Germany since 2017, I think, and it was adapted based on an event idea that came from the Netherlands. So it's from 2014, I think it started in the Netherlands during that year, and more countries are actually adapting it for their own countries, and it's basically an award ceremony where only Drupal projects can be submitted. And I think that's very important because in Germany there are loads of like digital awards that you can submit your projects to, but usually the jury and the committee, they always decide based on the design and not on the technical implementation. So it's very important that Drupal gets its own digital award because other frameworks like Typo3 and WordPress, I think, have that as well. And yeah, we're doing that since 2017, and with we, yes, I mean other people, because I joined in 2022, but it's basically an event that takes place every year in a different city, also giving the opportunity for other people to be closer to the event, so it's not always like a huge travel for a whole community from a country. And in Germany, we have the special situation that we do the special awards together with Austria, because it's a little bit easier. Everything is in German language, and also since the Austrian community is a little bit smaller, I think it made sense to join forces here. And the event already took place in Munich, in Frankfurt, and last year in Hamburg, in our office actually at Factorio, which is why also I was involved from the beginning from last year, because it was like the first time Splash Awards took place after the pandemic. And yeah, it was an amazing event on Friday this year in Mannheim, which is like a city, let's say, 1 hour south of Frankfurt. And we had around 30 projects being submitted, and we handed over 8 Splash Awards in 8 different categories. And what we also do usually here, and I think that's kind of beneficial for everyone who wants to join the Splash Awards. Maybe not as a company submitting cases, but also only as an attendee, because the travel there is quite far for many people. We are always offering like an additional conference during the day that we call the Drupal Business Day. So you have like two events in one: the Drupal Business Day during the day, which this year was held like a bar camp, and then during the evening the Splash Awards continue. So you have one full day of Drupal, so it really also is worth the travel, especially for the people from the Austrian community. And I well, this year also the travel for me was quite long because Mannheim is like 6 hours by train. And last year I was happy that it was in Hamburg because I'm also living in Hamburg, and this is where Factorial is. But I think at some point everyone draws a short straw and has to do like some more kilometers in order to get to the event. And I actually used this year's Splash Awards traveling also to attend another local Drupal meetup in Stuttgart, which is like another hour south from Mannheim. And it was really interesting because I bumped into a person that had no idea that the Splash Awards take place. from a small Drupal company in Saarbrücken, which is like in the west of Germany. And I told him what the Splash Awards is and or what the Splash Awards are, and also what the Drupal Business Day is. And not 12 hours or 18 hours later, he actually attended the event, and also one colleague from his team. So it was like a really nice, just like eye-to-eye conversation about the event, and afterwards seeing a direct consequence because he was among the attendees. That was really, really nice. And also, I feel these kind of events are different from other awards ceremonies that I experience, because I see a lot of like rivalry between the submitting companies, and they are really angry about not winning awards. And I don't know, everything feels like a little bit hostile. And during the Splash Awards, like I got so many pats on the back for the Factorio project that won, because people genuinely just like looked into it and said, well, what you did for that Occhio client was like really, really well implemented, and I just want to say like congratulations to you. And I that was such a heartwarming moment, that people genuinely have the urge of like giving you their appreciation because they just like what you did and what you built. So yeah, it was an amazing event. And next year, for everyone who's already curious where it will be, it will take place in Berlin. So everyone who's around the Berlin area and is interested in submitting a project, or maybe also just attending it, it will be in the first half of November 2024 in Berlin.
So you mentioned what sort of categories would they be for a splash, different splash awards, and are they the same in every country, or are they the same every year even? Are they consistent, or do they change?
I think they are the same in every country, and we actually have 10 categories, but usually it's like some categories that they receive more submissions than others. So what the jury does here is that they shift around the projects a little bit, so it's like a fair competition in all the categories, because if not, then it could happen that in one category there are only two submissions, which means you have directly maybe one winner, one runner-up, and then there's no competition at all. And in other categories you have like 20 submissions, and a lot of very amazing projects are not having any possibility of even like being among the nominees, because there are just so many people, so many projects submitted. And for this reason, there are 10 categories, and we, or the jury, chose this year to only hand out 8 awards in 8 categories, and we ditched 2 categories completely. And the categories are from like a variety of perspectives, or a variety of industries. We have like a publishing media category. One category focuses on projects from the e-commerce area. One category is about like enterprise projects. Then there's like a nonprofit category. And also one category that I really like is the category of solution, because in that situation, it's not about which was like the nicest client and how big is the client and what was like the scale of business, but it's really about like the solution that usually is like a Drupal module that companies submit. And then on like on the second page of the case submission, you can read like how many and what businesses are already benefiting from that module. So it's really highlighting the contributional value of that project. And that is, for this reason, a category that I really like, from a personal point of view. And yeah, so this is how it goes.
That's really interesting. So yeah, I don't think I've ever sort of been like or submitted anything to a Splash Award before. But if I did have a project I was thinking of submitting, what does the process look like? Is it a form you have to fill in? Do you then have to you say there's a jury involved? It's not managed. It's not decided by one person or one company. If there's a
No,
there's
no.
like a jury.
It's it's actually a jury, and the jury is like set up every year new. So it's like a new members every year, new jury members, and it's also open for everybody. So all the submissions, or the not the submissions, the applications for being in the jury are being like reviewed, and then we try to make sure that the jury consists of a lot of people from a lot of different like professional backgrounds. So we have this really 360 degree possibility of evaluating projects. So we make sure that there's someone involved with an experience in UX and UI, someone taking care of like the whole business aspect and the business logic of the project. There's like a Drupal developer involved. There's maybe a front-end developer involved, or someone evaluating like the scope of the project from a project management point of view or from a solution architect point of view. And also what we are always open for is like jury members from other frameworks, because they also have like a very interesting outside perspective on the projects. And usually what happens is, because as you see, many people don't know what the special awards are, so also the amount of people who volunteer for the jury are like limited, so we often have to fall back on companies that also submitted projects, which obviously creates like this little of a conflict. So how is a jury member supposed to evaluate a project when their own company submitted it? And in this situation, we have like a special rule that the jury member cannot vote or evaluate their own project, or it's not, well, he can evaluate it, but the whole evaluation doesn't count. So for this reason, we try to make sure that it's completely objective. And yeah, so it's very interesting every year to see also the jury notes and what they have to say about the different projects, because they have so many different perspectives from which they take a look at it.
Okay, that's pretty interesting. I try to think whether we've ever done one in the UK. If not, we should probably start thinking about maybe doing one next time we do a...
Yeah, you should actually. And this was basically the topic of my second BOF during DrupalCon, because I wanted to enable people to host their own splash awards also within their own countries, because as I said, some countries already followed up. So they, I think there's like a splash award Netherlands actually in 3 days, so this week on Thursday. We had the splash awards Germany and Austria this year. In September there was the splash awards in Switzerland. And during my BOF, there were people from Poland. I think one person from the UK was there as well. And a couple of other countries that were really interested in setting this up themselves. And let me tell you this, the project team is very small, and it's not that big of a deal of actually setting it up and organizing it, because all of the materials, the presentation deck, the visuals, everything is there. So it's very, very easy to do. And it's a great way of actually and like highlighting the business perspective on Drupal and the whole framework, because doing a lot of Drupal community events, the emphasis is on web development. And for this reason, I think it's a perfect way of exactly doing what also Dries said this year in the Dries note, like putting some emphasis on the marketing perspective on Drupal in order to really make it more famous. Because I cannot say how it is in the UK, but in Germany, it's definitely not the most well-known and most famous framework. So it's actually only has like a very small community, because there are other frameworks that are more famous. But with events like the Splash Awards, really trying to shed a light on the amazing stuff that can be built with Drupal.
So if you had a magic wand that you could just do one thing to make contribution maybe to Drupal easier, or something maybe for yourself, as you said, what would that be?
Wow, that's actually a tough one. Before I answer that, I just wanted to say one more thing about the Splash Awards, and that is that there's a Slack channel. And if you just type in Splash Awards in the Slack channel, then you can definitely find the channel where all the interested people are in, that also think about or considering participating in a Splash Award, submitting a project there, or even maybe hosting that in their own country. So I'm just encouraging everyone who's interested in doing that, and also maybe hosting a Splash Award in the UK, then please join the Slack channel. And then there will be a webinar, I think, that I will set up in a couple of weeks, where I will guide everyone who's interested through the whole process of hosting the Splash Award, setting it up, and also how to submit a project and stuff like that. So back to your question, making contribution easier. I think maybe based on my background that I have and the way that I interact with systems, especially in social media, or maybe in other tools that I'm using, I'm very biased in terms of the user experience. So for example, if there would be just one button on the front page saying like, I want to create a project, or I want to create something in order to like bring like kick something off, or really like get the ball rolling. I think that would be amazing for me, because I really don't even know like where to hand something in, and where to get in touch with the people. I think what I would do if I want to contribute, I would hit people up on Slack, and then I really hope that they will take care of the whole like crediting and issuing stuff, because I haven't looked through it yet, because yeah, as I said, I'm a little bit biased with all these tools where it's like easiest possible to do stuff by just clicking on a very, very colorful button. And with that, you're already in the creation of process.
Yeah, I think that's some of the things I've noticed. We're just doing our project upgrade to Drupal 10, and I was doing it for an example project, I think maybe for a talk. And then one of the first things I've noticed in 10.1 is it now comes up with British English on the front of the homepage, mm-hmm. which it didn't used to do before. So that was the first thing that caught my eye. And then as I was going through the process, I'm like, oh, that's different. And there were little UI tweaks and UX tweaks that had changed, and found out quite a bit more by that at DrupalCon as well. And that's going to, there'll be more, I think, in 10.2. So that was, yeah,
oh, that'd be amazing
to see that
happening. That'd be amazing. And also, I think what would be beneficial is that, like, not only me, but also other people that don't have any technical background have a lot of stuff that they can bring to the table. So from, I don't know, from documentation, from like also maybe a little summary of what your module or your future actually does, and contributing like a, or let's say, writing it in a way that also businesses see the benefits of it, and starting to engage with the different modules and the different projects that are going on. I think that would be very beneficial. And in order to do that, I think what would be great if what would be great would be that people in Drupal.org or in GitLab can just kind of like add a certain tag to their projects, so people like me see what projects might need help in terms of marketing, in terms of business, in terms of I don't know, any other visualization, and or maybe only just a second pair of eyes. I think that would be beneficial for me, because I don't want to approach people and say, hey, I noticed that your documentation is not very clear to me, or that I read through your like Drupal.org module overview or your GitLab module overview page, and I checked the introduction about what your module is supposed to do, but I don't get it. I think that is something that I really don't want to do. And what I would like to do is that people can find people like me if they think they want support. I think that would be a better way.
Yeah, that's a really interesting idea. I know we've got tags for things like needs tests or things like that. Like
exactly.
Yeah, maybe something like needs documentation or needs something.
Needs logo or needs I don't know, needs landing page, needs introduction video, needs tutorial, because these are exactly the things that I, for example, also do for colleagues of mine, like for Christian, for example, the maintainer of the group module. He is basically doing 99% of the work, also for the material that he sends me. Like he published this little like full guide to group version 2 and 3. And what he did was that he recorded all the videos for that, and I just finished them, cutted them, and then uploaded them on our Factorio YouTube channel. All the stuff that he doesn't have time for and he doesn't want to do. And this is something that I'm really happy to help with. And with that, I think I give him more awareness for his work. And that's really what the whole project or the whole collaboration between me and him is about. We're like really putting him on stage with the stuff that he's doing. So this is exactly what I can help other people with as well. But I need to know like who wants support. And as I said, I don't want to do that in a way that I approach people and say, I think you need help. It should be the other way around.
Yeah, I've used group module quite a few times actually on different projects and things, and mm-hmm. yeah, I'll have to go and find those Factorial videos on YouTube, and we'll put a link in the show notes as well afterwards. Yeah, this has been a really great, interesting conversation. Where can people find you online if they want to speak to you about this afterwards?
Interesting question. I think I'm a little bit biased with my marketing background here as well. I would say LinkedIn, but I noticed that a lot of people really don't like LinkedIn, especially from the software development industry, because they are just like getting contacted like by so many headhunters that are offering them jobs. So you can also contact me on X if that is still a thing. So my X handle is Heroic Nick. It's the same handle that I also use on Drupal.org. Other than that, I would say it's LinkedIn, my name Niklas Franke. And you can also send me a mail to my Factorio email address if it's interesting. So it's just my name, Niklas at factorio.io.
Thank you, Nicholas. It's been a really interesting conversation. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Oliver.
Thanks for listening to the Beyond Blocks podcast. I've been Oliver Davis. Thanks very much.